to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. And today we're definitely looking at the supernatural because with me, Robin, is Martin.
Oh, hello. I'm excited about this because I wasn't here last week.
Well, you missed it. It was your birthday.
It was. Thanks for reiterating that. I mean, it's a birthday month, isn't it?
What's it like to be 53?
Oh, it's fantastic. Better than 52.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. And Alex.
Hello there, Robin.
How's it going?
You all right?
Oh, fine. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the story you brought us.
Oh, yeah, no, I wanted to talk today about a technology advancement that's recently announced by Google. I don't know if either of you saw this in the news, but it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
What else are we talking about today?
Well, I think we're going to be looking at some spooky stories submitted by our listeners.
It has been amazing, the amount of stories we've got in.
Yeah. So, it's been great, yeah.
Probably too many to actually read out, so hopefully we'll have lots of spares for next week. But please do keep sending them in if you're listening and want to share a spooky or supernatural experience that you had. But last week you read out a whole bunch, and this week we've got a whole bunch more, which I'm really looking forward to sharing with everyone.
After last week, I have hardly been able to sleep. It's the nightmares have been getting me pretty badly, so... Thanks for arranging for us to do this again. So thank you. Yeah, hopefully there's some spooky stuff.
That's all right. Hopefully I'll calm you down with the weekly quiz at the end of the episode.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. Very nice. Any theme this week? Or?
I thought about doing a Halloween theme, but I thought maybe we can save that for next week instead.
A bit early.
Fair enough. Yeah.
A bit early.
Also, may I say, gentlemen, you are both looking uncharacteristically fashionable today. Something's changed. What's happened?
You're looking pretty good yourself, I have to say.
Well, that's because I'm guessing you as well.
Maybe.
May have received a delivery from Stitch Fix, who just so happened to be the sponsors of today's video. So Stitch Fix is a brilliant service where if you're like me and you don't particularly like shopping and you don't have a great eye for fashion, you can get clothes personally styled to your preferences and hand-delivered straight to your door.
Oh, yes, you can.
You can cut out the entirety of the shopping experience, which is great for me because I hate people. That's why I live in a bunker. You know?
Good, yeah.
I can't begin to imagine how much time it's going to save me.
Exactly.
Having a Stitch Fix account. Yeah. Because you fill in a questionnaire when you sign up, picking out all your favorite style things, the type of clothes you wear, the color of clothing you like, the brands you like.
Yeah, and stuff you don't want.
Yeah, and also tell them what you don't like.
Also your price range and how often you want to get clothes as well.
Yeah, which is really good. So this is just a one-off for me. I chose just a one-off, but it's good enough. Actually, I'm thinking maybe increasing it to one a month. You can even go weekly, I think, if you really like clothes.
Exactly. And there's no pressure to whether you want to keep everything that they send you or if you want to send them back. They give you a prepaid return envelope, so you can send it back if you don't like what you've been sent.
And the stylist is not a robot. It's a real person. Mine was called Rich.
Yeah, mine was Vitali. So thank you, Vitali, for choosing this lovely
outfit. It's a very nice shirt. I do like that.
Yes. And if you're kind of an awkward size where, sometimes a medium's too small, sometimes too big, the questionnaire asks you that. So everything that they sent through for me was perfect size, which never happens when I shop myself.
I was shocked how well everything fits.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, there you go. So get started with Stitch Fix today and support our podcast by going to stitchfix.co.uk/bunker right now. Go there right now. Leave the podcast on. We're going to start talking about scary things. Mm. But go there right now. Go to stitchfix.co.uk/bunker. So before we start scaring ourselves with some creepy stories, I wanted to talk about something. Well, actually, it is pretty scary. But Google's announced that they've claimed quantum supremacy for their new quantum computer,
That sounds very Empire, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does, doesn't
quantum
it?
Quantum supremacy.
How are they saying these things? Or seen a sci-fi.
Yeah, have they not seen Terminator? We have achieved quantum supremacy. Just stop it. Stop it, guys.
What does that mean?
The moment that a sophisticated quantum computer performed a task that stumps even the most powerful standard computer in the world.
Okay,
quantum computers is kind of a weird thing to me because it's described as a quantum computer, which implies that it's similar in any way to regular traditional bit-like computers, with ones and zeros. But quantum computers are different entirely, like a different total architecture, whereby, traditional computers use bits, which are, either a one or a zero, whereas a quantum computer can be a one or a zero, simultaneously. So essentially,
I'm not going to pretend to know what you're talking about.
No, what it means is that these computers can work things out exponentially quicker than regular traditional computers.
Oh, cool.
So Google said that it's processor, this quantum processor that they've made, which is called, what's it called? Sycamore.
Sycamore.
Yeah.
It's not far from Skynet.
They said that it could complete a complicated task that would take any other computer 10,000 years to finish.
Yeah.
They're like the world's most high-tech supercomputers. It would take them 10,000 years to complete this task.
Yeah.
And this was able to do it in 3 minutes 20 seconds. Wow. Just to show you how in a league of its own these quantum computers would be.
Wow. That's mad.
It's mad. And they said the experiment was extremely hard to set up. It was a long process of setting up this experiment, just making a challenge that would be difficult enough to take 10,000 years for another computer to do.
I wonder what, I mean, they can't really explain what the challenge is, right?
Presumably not.
They released just like a short video, but and they did kind of manage to explain it, but in a way that I'm not going to pretend to understand.
Some of our audience,
it was super complicated.
Mathematical.
Challenge. It must be.
Yeah. It was okay. But it was like a randomness problem, they described it as. It was trying to solve something that was seemingly random, I guess.
It's to do with generating a truly random sequence of numbers. Is that it?
Something to do with that.
I've heard of that test. It's not like, what is the meaning of life? That would be the first question I'd ask a quantum computer.
Yeah.
The answer is 42.
42, yes, the meaning of life. Very good. Mm.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up deep thought because, I mean, this is like the first step along the process of creating a computer like deep thought that could just work out anything. However, it needs to be said that their results, or not their results, but their statement that they've achieved quantum supremacy has been argued by IBM. They have disputed this fact.
Right.
Maybe unsurprising. But scientists there say that Google's experiment is an excellent demonstration of the progress in superconducting-based quantum computing. But it should not be viewed as proof that quantum computers are supreme over classical computers.
Then why say you've got supremacy then?
Yeah.
Well, I think their argument is that supercomputers can still be improved and get better.
Okay.
So we don't know. We haven't reached the limit of what traditional computers can do. So you can't really make the statement. However, I mean, it's pretty radical, the difference, isn't it? 3.5 minutes compared to 10,000 years.
It's mad. So what are the practical real-world implications of this? That's the question. Yeah. Like,
when we live in a world where quantum computers are ubiquitous and everybody has a quantum computer for everything, what's the advantage?
Well, I think it's just being able to process things at just an incredible speed. I mean, apparently, like, even the Google's engineers say that quantum computers wouldn't replace traditional computers.
Right.
Quantum computers would be better at some things, but not as good at other things. However, working out, I think it's just in the different architecture, maybe data storage and that kind of thing.
Right.
Mm. However, working out complicated problems and that kind of thing would be right up their alley.
Super useful for engineers, I guess, and space science.
Probably,
maybe other scientists doing scientific things that require computer modeling, which I don't understand.
Yeah.
That would require
or
benefit from quantum computing being super fast at calculating stuff. I suppose, actually, there's loads and loads of software engineers who like build a program and let it run to see if it works, and they spend hours waiting for it to crash, basically. Mm. I suppose with quantum computing, you could do it in seconds.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
I mean, is there an issue here with... I expect IBM is conducting, as well as other companies, are conducting similar experiments with quantum computers.
Yeah,
is there an issue with Google saying that they've, you know, won this race? They've got supremacy, considering Google is a private company that has a lot of our data. I mean, that's a question, if they have so much power in this space.
I mean, it feels like it. But I mean, what are you going to do about that? That's the larger question of, you know, corporations just becoming too big to fail.
All knew Google would own the world at some point. This is just the next step.
Yeah.
The next step.
It's an interesting development, though. And some of the people in the video, they compared it to when the first satellite was launched into space. You know, Sputnik went up.
Right.
Didn't really do a huge amount. But it was that first kind of spark, the first kind of... thing in a new era of look at the sky, there's thousands of satellites.
This is true.
This is kind of the dawn of something scary and
so we are going to reach the singularity, aren't we?
Oh,
2050.
God.
Yeah. I mean, they say like practical applications of this are like decades away. However, this is kind of, you know, this was a historical moment, is what they said.
Amazing.
Which is interesting. And it's interesting that quantum computers have always been a kind of speculative area, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the scary thing with quantum computers, of course, is that they'd be able to get around any encryption, allegedly. Like, you were, like, encryption companies and that kind of thing would really struggle with quantum computers. They'd be able to crack anything in seconds.
You have to switch to LANs, wouldn't you? So that you couldn't be hacked by someone remotely.
I think you'd have to go back to a lock and key for your secrets. Get a big safe.
Everything's
to be honest.
On paper.
Yeah. I mean, I have to admit to you guys, I need to do some more research into quantum computers. And
yeah, you do.
Because in terms of the real world applications and the way this is going to be implemented in the future, I don't really know what's going on. Whereas some of you guys at home might, and, you know, let us know your thoughts in the comments below.
Yeah.
But it definitely strikes me as this is, according to Google, a really massive step for them, right, in computing. And so
huge, must be. Yeah.
So if they think it's a massive step, that gets me a little bit worried.
That's exciting, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I don't know enough about quantum computers to know if this is exciting or not.
Or terrifying.
Yeah.
Firstly, let's take it with a pinch of salt. This could be, as you've already kind of hinted at, Google are saying they've done it. IBM are saying they haven't done it. Both companies have a vested interest in arguing their side. So, you know, take it with a pinch of salt. But I feel like we live in an incredible age where it seems like every other week there's a major scientific breakthrough. Something that was science fiction 20, 30 years ago is now real. Quantum computing is the latest thing.
It's becoming real, yeah.
I feel like its applications might be more to do with artificial intelligence than anything else in terms of everyday stuff. Mm. Like, I can't imagine normal people needing a quantum computer.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You know. That's how expensive a quantum computer be.
Oh, but imagine a time when it becomes so inexpensive.
Mm. But even when it's just used commercially and that kind of thing, by that point, technology would advance so much that traditional computers would be so quick.
You can get some really, really fast commercially available computers now, can't you?
It's
remarkable because I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I'm always amazed at how fast my phone is, you know, compared to the laptop I bought 8 years ago. It's just incredible.
It's weird talking about how this is like a dystopia kind of thing. The actual image of Google's sycamore thing looks like, you know, the artificial intelligence in iRobot, that thing that's plugged into the hundreds of things into it. It's like a brain.
It looks like that.
I mean, no, I don't, because I recorded that off the TV, watched the first third of it, and then the recording just stopped.
Oh, no.
So I've seen the first third of iRobot. The robot. So I didn't see that.
It's a good movie. I think it's on Netflix. I like that film. Every once in a while, I get a kind of yen to watch it again.
Yeah.
And I never get
And something like this happens.
Yeah. I remember going to sit in the cinema. One of the few people who did. It wasn't a huge hit. But it wasn't a full cinema, but it was a great experience, because I remember going and thinking, Will Smith sci-fi won't be that great, but hey, whatever. And then being like, oh, that was actually really good. Surprisingly provocative.
There's a lot of product placement in that, though, isn't there?
But
I'm going to quickly put my Converses up onto the table.
Vintage shoes, they call
vintage shoes.
Because it's like, it came out in 2004, the movie did, and the Converse he's wearing have got 2004 written on them. I see, like, vintage shoes. Just like, the Converse that old in the film's universe would not look that good.
Well, it was definitely more successful than his most recent sci-fi romp.
What was his most recent?
Gemini Man.
Yeah, no, that hasn't really, hasn't.
No, it hasn't hit at all. It sits comfortably alongside After Earth. Oh, dear.
But anyway, that was my scary technology story of the day. Probably not as scary. We shouldn't, of all the things going on in the world, it's probably not the scariest thing, to be honest.
I don't know, it could be scary. We don't know what Google's going to do with it. And we don't know where it will lead. All these technological things terrify me on a deep level, because it's like, do we trust the people in charge? Do we trust them? Do they know when to stop?
It's always a slow drift as well into the abyss, right? And it's never like they turn around and go, okay, now you're all we'll have your data. It's like, okay, well, what do you think about this service that you can use if you just provide us with this little bit of data? And then you gradually realize that actually
everything
you're living in the Matrix.
And it's like they're trying to recreate the scariest films. It's like Boston Dynamics. Every time I see one of their videos, I'm like, but you've seen The Terminator.
You know what happens.
And they're like, oh, no, we won't let it get to that. part. And it's like, that's what they said in the film. Just stop.
Yeah.
They didn't know what they were doing. That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, like, gosh, yeah, we're gonna make an AI, make AI more intelligent than humanity. And there was that one, wasn't there? There was the robot. When they asked them what their goal was, it was to be smarter than humans. Like, shut that thing down. Stop that right now. We cannot be having that.
Yeah. And then there's always someone who happens to be head of the program being like, connect it to the internet.
Don't do that.
Stop it.
Yeah.
What do you guys at home think? Those of you listening, those of you watching us, please tell us your thoughts on Twitter. I'm at All Time Robin.
I'm at All Time Martin, just copying you there.
And I'm at Alex Brown ATC.
Oh, we got it.
Yes,
right.
I was ready for you to have to redo it. Yeah. Perfect.
Thank you.
He's like a supercomputer, always learning to get better.
Wait, so I'm surrounded by two robots, or
no?
No.
When are you having your oil change? He was
trying to, you know, distract then from the fact that he's hashtag robot.
Someone asked this week when you were having your oil change, and I wasn't able to answer, so I thought I'd ask you.
I need to dip the stick to see what the levels are.
What does that involve?
Well, and with that yourself. Let's move on to some great stories submitted by our viewers and listeners. Lots of people got in touch, as we mentioned at the beginning of this podcast. So many stories, it's great. I've got one here from Denton Peasley.
Okay,
who's,
cool.
One of our patrons. Patrons on Patreon. I always get those words confused. And he sent us a story about my ghost experiences. And it says, when I was about 9, my friend and I were riding our bikes over a bridge to my house. In the process, I looked up and saw a woman with dark hair and a long white dress walking on the railing. Ooh. I turned to my friend and asked him if he saw that, and he said, no. I looked back and there was no one there.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Very creepy.
An image of the girl from the ring in my head.
Yeah, it's always like a white dress, brown hair. It's kind of, it's... like maybe he saw a woman in white.
It's a very classic kind of ghost, isn't it? Mm. Woman in white.
Or La Llorona. Yeah.
There's more to the story as well, actually. So in Dover, in Delaware, Denton says, I joined the United States Air Force in 2006, where my first duty station was in Dover, Delaware. My first house had no abnormalities. Great start.
Okay. Good.
The housing on base was being built brand new, so we lived in the first house waiting. Then my ex-wife and I were the first people to live in the quadplex of houses, and specifically the house we lived in, things happened.
Ooh.
Tapping on the walls and windows directly behind me. My dogs would both sit and watch specific spots in the house.
That's creepy. Yeah, that's the classic.
There were super aggressive wolf spiders that would rear back and act like they were going to attack you.
Okay, generally that sounds more scarier than the ghosts.
Yeah,
wolf spiders. What?
I asked multiple neighbors and friends about this, and no one else had a problem. One time, a bag of bagels was taken out of the bread crate we had and was dropped in the middle of the floor.
That makes a lot of sense to me, to be honest, because like all these ghosts seem to be like, tapping on the window or just, you know, tapping things or moving things very slightly.
Yeah.
If I was a ghost, straight for the bagels.
Yeah, just grab them. Yeah, grab them and throw them around.
Try and steal some bagels. Yeah. Makes sense. Raid the pantry.
And then one time, while having friends over for an NCAA football tournament, I ended up falling asleep after I lost in the first round. My friend Tim and his brother Juice were still there when I woke up. Tim was upstairs, and Juice and I sat watching ESPN and chatting. You know how there's a specific sound on a fire detector? Like one sound for pressing the button.
Oh, yeah.
For a test push, one for a fire, and one for a dead battery. Well, the upstairs one went off, which made Juice and I go check and see what Tim was doing. We had to interrupt him to ask him if he had pushed the button. The three of us stood around just chatting until about 30 minutes later, the downstairs detector made the same sound. Three of us went downstairs to check on it, and we were super confused. No more than 5 minutes later, the upstairs went off again. Tim and his brother left my house immediately.
Yeah, not surprised.
Yep, that's not surprised. Then he went upstairs to fall asleep. After laying for a few minutes, the downstairs one went off again. Mm. I went downstairs, and as soon as I got to the downstairs detector, the upstairs one went off.
Ooh.
I went upstairs, and as soon as I got underneath of the upstairs, the downstairs one went off.
Mm. This sounds like Benny Hill.
Yeah.
He's just going around the house.
Yeah. So I said aloud, all right then, I'll sleep downstairs tonight. I slept on the couch, and the beeping stopped. It never happened again.
Oh, that's weird. Because yeah. I have to admit, when I was hearing that story, I know that when people install those like fire alarms, they put the batteries in at the same time so that when one goes off, you know to replace all the batteries.
Yes.
So that kind of makes sense to me. But I wonder if he changed the batteries in both of them and that, like every time or something. Like maybe he changed the batteries and they were still going off. Or
maybe I don't know that detail isn't there. Yeah.
Then also if he slept downstairs and then they stopped, then that's weird anyway.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
I mean, could this be a ghost playing a trick? So you're going down to one and then
it
the
sounds
other.
Like a playful ghost, doesn't it?
Yeah, or stealing bagels.
Yeah,
causing a fire alarm to go off.
Or could the site that the house was built on actually have been the site of a house being burnt down?
Denton, do some research. Let us know what you find
yeah,
out.
Yeah, what was on that site originally? True, yeah. I'm interested.
Weird. That's scary. Then the fire alarm makes sense.
Yeah, sleep downstairs. Safer that way. Okay, so I've got a story from James Matthews.
Okay.
So he says, "Hi Robin, Alex and Martin.
Oh, hello.
Big fan of the channel, especially the Mystery Files.
Oh, thank you.
And your In Plain Sight episodes. Yeah. Actually got another one of those coming out fairly soon, haven't we?
Hopefully for Halloween.
Exactly.
Stay tuned.
He says, "I actually had a dream recently in which I was a special guest on Stories from the Bunker. Talking about how Action Man faked his own death for the PR.
I knew it all along. Yeah, that makes could be true. So much sense.
Then came back as G.I. Joe to take advantage of the publicity and toy sales." Conspiracy right there. Yeah. No idea what that means. Anyway, on to the ghost story. So, James says, "Since moving a few years ago, I've always joked that my flat is haunted because of the way that every now and then my cat would randomly stare at a point just above my shoulder, then bolt suddenly from the room."
Ooh.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of animals staring, aren't we?
I mean, when animals interact with spirits, it's always a bit freaky.
Yeah. There's always that kind of... Yeah, animals always seem to have more of a sense for these things. Yeah. I think we spoke about it last week as well. I don't like that. That's creepy.
So James says, "I never actually thought my cat was seeing anything supernatural. She's just a bit weird sometimes." But
in fairness, cats are like that.
But last year, my girlfriend and I were talking in the living room when out of the corner of my eye, I saw a strange silver-white shape. It was like a small puff of translucent mist that drifted into the room and, hovering just a few inches above the floor, moved along towards us before fading away. When it disappeared, I looked back at my girlfriend to tell her about it and saw that she was staring at the same spot on the floor that I was.
Ooh.
She looked at me, saw the confused look on my face, and asked, "Did you just see that too?" She described seeing the same misty shape that I did, although neither of us could think how to explain it. About a week later, I was working at my desk in the bedroom, and as I was sitting there, I had the feeling that someone was standing behind me. I looked over my shoulder, but there was no one there. I turned back around to the computer, then all of a sudden my chair shook, twice sharply, and then was completely still. It definitely wasn't the kind of rocking a desk chair does when you move it in. It was as if someone behind me had gripped the back of the chair, shaken it twice, then held it steady.
Oh.
I would have been out of that flat in a heartbeat. Wow.
Grab the crucifix and the holy water.
Exactly,
get
yeah.
the hell out.
Make a line of salt around.
Yes.
A few weeks later, the same thing happened again. I was at my desk. I thought someone had come in the room, but when I looked, there was no one there but me. But instead of my chair shaking this time, I could feel a cold hand grab me around the ankle before letting it go a moment later.
What's going on? Get out of that flat. Burn it to the ground.
Obviously, I was freaked out by both occasions. Bricking it is more apt for the second one. But I reasoned that I was probably just a little on edge after the mist, and maybe my mind was just playing tricks on me. And as I didn't have any more spooky encounters after that, I figured that probably more true than that was probably more true than there was a real ghost in my flat. That is, until a few months ago, when I came out of my bedroom and saw a translucent, silvery white, so it sounds like the before, mist floating at the end of the hall by the living room door. This time it was much larger, about the same height as me, and looked more like a silhouette with shoulders and a head than an indistinct cloud. The mist floated into the living room. I went into the living room after it and saw my cat sitting on the floor, staring at the empty space on the sofa where I usually sit. That was the last time I saw the ghost, and to be honest, I hope it stays that way. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for taking the time to read it. Sorry, it's such a long one. Thanks, James. So,
thank you, James. I will never sleep again.
There's a few elements here, aren't there?
Yeah, there's quite a lot going on here.
There's the silvery white translucent mist.
Yes.
There's the cat.
There's a cat staring.
Seemingly seeing whatever's there.
And then there's the very physical shaking of the chair and holding onto the ankle.
Yeah,
the cold hand holding. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The interesting thing is that a silvery white mist definitely seems like a kind of more traditional ghostly vapory form, whereas the holding onto the chair and shaking it seems like a very physical.
That's a poltergeist type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Same with the like cold hand gripping his ankle.
Yeah.
So is that two separate entities, or is it the same one? Just happens to be a kind of immaterial, ethereal ghost as well as a poltergeist, and able to interact with things and people.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they can manifest in different ways. Very creepy story. Stay in touch every few months, you know. I want to know. Okay. Update us again if anything else happens.
You can grab a knife.
Oh, don't say that. It started out so playful. I thought it was a bagel-eating ghost.
Does it seem like a ghost who's scared himself?
Possibly.
Someone grabbing onto the chair, holding your ankle, looking for help?
I took that was my interpretation. Yeah, it was just the whole thing about ghosts, lost souls or something like that. There might be, I don't know, a former inhabitant in that house who doesn't realize they're dead or something, or maybe they realize they're dead, they just don't know why they're stuck in the house as a spirit.
Yeah.
But it's odd that sometimes you can see them and sometimes you can't. What are the conditions that allow you to see them for those moments?
Yeah, true. Because the cat was staring at a spot. Yeah. It wasn't staring at the silvery white mist, was it?
Yeah.
Interesting that your girlfriend saw it too.
That's
very
really
interesting.
Interesting, really compelling that was.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a ghost, Martin?
No, I've had it a few times where I've woken up in the night and been like, oh my God, what the hell is that? Like a shadowy figure. And then I've like kind of woken up and been like, okay, it's actually like a shadow. It's like a shadow off something that I've left by a light on the floor or whatever.
When you get like pareidolia, like you hang up a coat on like a coat rack, and
I get all the time.
You wake up in the middle of the night and it's like, oh my God, there's a man standing over there.
I get like, I quite often get, even if I'm looking at spots on the carpet, I'll get like a witch's face in it or something like that. Oh, I get that quite a lot. I see, and I'm like,
I'll do that corner of my eye, see someone's face, and it's just a lamp.
Yeah. Yeah,
or some or a coat I put on the chair.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, so we have another one?
Yeah.
So this one's from Lauren Curry, who says, "Hey guys, I have two short stories to share. When I was really young, I had an imaginary friend named Billy. He was a boy about my age at the time, with short blonde hair, and always wore a red t-shirt with denim overalls. We would have lively chats and play together quite frequently. Occasionally, I would relay to my parents random tidbits of information a child my age likely wouldn't know. When they asked where I learned such facts, 'Billy told me,' I would exclaim. My parents would joke Billy was a ghost. He must have died on our property long before we owned it. Gruesome, yes, but that's my family's kind of humor. Fast forward to about the age of 13. A friend and I are hanging out in my living room. His older brother stopped by to walk him home for dinner, but before leaving asked, 'Who's that little boy?' As he was a family friend and knew my whole family, this seemed like an odd question. The little blonde boy with the red shirt and overalls. He was right there, but I guess he ran off. I'm from a mixed race family, so there were certainly no little blonde boys living in our home, and he had no knowledge of what my childhood imaginary friend had looked like. I can't help but think maybe my parents were right about Billy."
Weird.
Yeah.
That's really strange, isn't it?
Yeah. Imaginary friends. That whole phenomenon's quite weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's that whole theory that like when children have imaginary friends, they like young children have this kind of closeness more spirit like to spirits and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that they can actually see ghosts. Maybe that's something to do with that. Maybe you're not wrong and Billy was actually a ghost.
Imaginary friend. Either of you have an imaginary friend?
Not that I can remember.
No, neither.
I didn't know. I tried to, but I couldn't get behind it. My imagination wasn't very good. I couldn't conjure up one, sadly.
Wow, that is interesting. Someone else seeing your imaginary friend. Suggests there might be something more to it, perhaps.
Lauren actually carried on and says, "Now I'm 25 years old, living on my own and playing video games in my PJs."
Living
the dream. "As I played, I was trying not to be distracted by a sudden stinging sensation on my thigh. I carried on playing until I couldn't ignore it any longer. When I finally looked down, I found fresh crisscross scratch marks on my thigh, still slightly burning. To this day, I have no idea what caused these marks.
Wow.
That's also another very strange addition to the story.
Yeah.
I guess that was the second story she wanted to say.
Was it a wolf spider?
Yeah.
Crisscross, though. That's
really bizarre. Yeah, that sounds like it was a deliberate attack by something.
Mm.
Not just a little scratch. Because, you know, sometimes clothing can chafe a little bit.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I know you're wearing your PJs, I guess, but...
That's
really odd. I hope the scratch is healed over and you haven't had any weird injuries since then.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about the imaginary friend thing? Billy. Mm.
Yes, Billy.
I mean, I find she didn't go into detail with what things that she knew, which an average person of her age wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But that would be interesting to know. So let us know, keep us updated if you have any more contact with Billy.
Yeah, if you ever meet Billy again, I'd like to know.
Yeah, I mean, he may be local to the house she grew up in, right?
True. Yeah,
maybe.
Considering that's another common thing, isn't it? Ghosts are
geographically attached to that place, which would make more sense with the other person coming around seeing it as opposed to it going
that's
with her.
That's true.
It's true. Yeah. Or maybe that other person that kind of latched onto him and now Billy's, you know, hangs around with him. Who knows?
Yeah.
This is true. Do ghosts attach to a person or a place?
I've always thought place. But
Traditionally it's a place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess, imagine being a haunted person. That'd be annoying, wouldn't it?
Well, it's like Paranormal Activity in that case.
Is that what it is?
It kind of latches onto that one individual. Oh, right. And you can't escape from it no matter where you go.
Is that from the films?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen a Paranormal Activity film.
Oh, haven't you?
No.
Watch the first one.
Good? Actually good? Or just scary? Better than the others?
It's not particularly good, but I mean, it's...
Good enough.
It's, you know, does the job.
Yeah.
That's all Alex needs in life. I've got a story, a shorter one this time, from Henrik Thurstam, I think is how you say the name.
Okay.
But I'll stick with Henrik. Henrik says, hi.
Hello.
I have a story. I have a story that happened to my mother a few years ago when my grandma died.
Okay.
My mother was in a small auditorium when a woman tapped her on the shoulder and said that there was an old lady sitting next to her. Her description of the old lady matched my grandmother. The woman told my mother various things that my grandmother used to say, like, take the bike to work instead of the car, and various other things she could not have known. So yeah, a short ghost story.
That's very odd.
Someone behind said to her mother, there's someone sitting next to you.
So in the auditorium,
presumably.
Yeah, somebody was sitting next to Henrik's mother and was seen by somebody else, but Henrik's mother presumably couldn't see this person who looked and said things just like the grandma who passed away.
Intriguing.
That's really strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine seeing someone else's ghost. As in someone else's haunting.
Just to let you know, you've got a ghost next to you.
And then would they know themselves that it's a ghost? Would they just
how would they know that it's something out of the ordinary?
They must have looked ghosty, I guess.
Yeah, they must have. I mean, that would be a bit of a weird thing to bring up to someone. By the way, you got a person sitting
next to
you.
That's a good point.
I know,
yeah.
I'm in an auditorium.
What a strange.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
I take it was fairly empty then. It must have been.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, there's not enough details.
From my point of view, it seems like there's the woman who's speaking to her, the old woman sat next to her, and no one really else in there.
Yeah, just those two people and a ghost in this auditorium. I think why the auditorium? Is that a place that the grandma would haunt? Or is this more like the grandma is haunting the mother and therefore following her around?
It feels like she was maybe visiting. Very strange. I mean, maybe this lady was like a psychic or a medium or something and had that connection to the paranormal and the other side. Because I find it strange, like, mediums and that kind of thing, you know, there are kind of charlatans and fakes who research people beforehand, but this doesn't seem like that kind of thing. It doesn't sound like she sought this person out and researched her beforehand.
Yeah.
Like the mother, there's no way, seemingly from what we know, that she would have been aware that she recently had a mother who passed away and knew details about her.
Interesting to know why they're in the auditorium in the first place. Like what was there, what the event was, right?
Give us more detail, Henrik. Why were they in the auditorium? Mm. What was the detail? Was this person a complete and utter stranger to the mum and to the town and therefore didn't know the grandma? Mm. It's a fascinating story and very spooky, but I do wonder if maybe it was someone playing a little bit of a joke. Bad joke.
A bit of a
mean prank on the mum. Or maybe they did actually see a ghost and they realised it was a ghost and they were trying to let your mum know that there was this ghost yabbering at
trying to speak to you, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Intriguing.
Wow. Creepy. Do we have another one or any
more?
Or
yeah. Should we go for one more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this story is from Chris McCrate, who's one of our long-standing patrons. So
thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris says, a couple of years ago, I was home alone in my basement playing video games. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
When I hear the door shut that connects my kitchen to the garage creak open and slam shut. But I never heard the actual mechanical garage door opening.
Oh.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
Got that?
Yeah.
Then I heard heavy footsteps of someone wearing boots walk the length of my kitchen directly above me. I originally thought, oh, my brother must have forgotten something, as he had left about 5 minutes before that for work. Okay. So I was about to yell up to him to make fun of him, but something in the back of my mind was telling me, hold on, something's not right here.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
So I muted my TV to both hear better and to stay quiet. Then I heard the footsteps turn around and walk back to the door. And again, I hear it creak open and slam shut. But again, I never heard the actual mechanical garage door open or close. So I slowly start to walk upstairs, thinking maybe my brother just forgot to close the garage door. I slowly open the door to my garage and see that the garage... So he's opening up his kitchen door, I imagine, to the garage, and notices that the garage door has been closed the entire time.
Oh.
So I imagine that's how you get in and out
of the
house. The only two explanations I can come up with are either something paranormal happened or someone broke into my house, walked through my kitchen and left without taking anything while also not letting me hear them open the garage door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would they do that anyway? Yeah. If it's, I'm presuming it's like a mechanical...
Yeah, exactly. Like the key command. Or whatever.
In my opinion, both are equally terrifying to me.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Agreed, yeah.
Yep.
I've had other very minor things happen to me, like hearing noises and whispers or seeing things out of the corner of my eye. We were speaking about that earlier. But I've always chalked those up as my mind playing tricks on me. But this experience was the unmistakable sound of an intruder inside my house. I just can't explain how they both opened and closed my garage door without me hearing them. It has a very noticeable sound because it's an old garage door and creaks and moans when it's opened.
Mm.
I only ever heard their footsteps and them opening the door that connects my garage to the kitchen. As always, thanks for the constant awesome content. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for your story. That is strange, isn't it?
That's very weird.
That's the spooky one.
He's so right. Like, I don't know what's scarier, to be honest. Like, if it was just someone who, like an actual person who broke in and then broke out, like, went left without taking anything.
That's and did it weirder. Without him hearing.
Yeah, the garage door. But if you heard the inner door being opened and slammed, you would. You'd think so.
Or a mechanic. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what would have happened had he actually called out.
He had
that voice inside his head telling him not to. Like, actually, maybe I shouldn't.
I mean, I think that something was the wise thing to do in case it was an intruder. You want to make sure if they think it's empty house, you want to make sure they keep thinking it's an empty house so you can surprise them or get out of there alive.
I mean, if it's some nutter, then you want to stay quiet. But most intruders, if you shout it, would probably like crap and run out, right?
Yeah, you hear steps and that kind of thing. But I don't know. I always like just put it down to, thinking it's a neighbor or something. Or I'm just imagining things, or it's the wind closing the doors. Mm. But this sounds like there was literally no way for them to get in and get out without being obvious and heard. Mm. There was no way for the mechanical door to not be heard. So. Yeah.
Terrifying.
That just reminded me of a flashback to when I was very young, about 8 or 9 years old. I stayed at one of my friend's houses, my friend's George. And I was sleeping on the floor. He was sleeping in his bed, of course. I was sleeping on the floor on a blow-up mattress or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And throughout the night, his stairs were constantly going and creaking, just that little bit, make creaky noises. But the door was open, so I could see that no one was coming like across the landing to go down the stairs, but you could hear the creaking like on the stairs. And that scared me so much as a child.
It is kind of just old houses moving
about. Of course, in the UK, most people's houses are
really old,
a little bit old, aren't they?
Yeah,
I love that. I love it when you get a little kind of, especially I think it happens a lot in brick houses where there's a little kind of gap in the filling, the insulation or whatever, so there's a kind of channel and the wind kind of whistles through it.
Yeah,
I had that university. I had a there was a fireplace that went down. The chimney went down through my room.
Yeah.
So I had like a fireplace in my room, and you just, it wasn't great though, because the wind would just whistle through.
And
it was a cold room. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all your ghost stories. Yeah. They are fantastic. They're really spooky. And to all our listeners and viewers on YouTube who haven't heard these stories before, just like we haven't heard them before, what do you think? Do you think any of them are real? Do you think they're all could be explained by something else? Or do you think they are authentic ghosts? Please let us know.
Yeah. And send us your stories as well, yeah.
Yeah, keep sending them in. We'll keep reading them out. Next week is Halloween itself, so we're definitely going to do some more next week. And then we'll probably maybe do some more afterwards, because, you know, why not?
I need to sleep at some point, Robin. Let's call it a day.
Quiz time?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sounds good.
Quiz. All right, then. Welcome to the quiz. And gentlemen, show me your buzzers. Martin?
That's what she said.
And Alex?
Michael Scott, The Office.
Slightly different.
What have I done?
prequel meme.
Prequel meme.
Yeah. Got all prequel memes. Oh. We like what those here, don't we?
episode 2, Mace Windu.
Episode 3, Mace Windu. Yeah.
Rise of the Jedi.
Revenge of the Sith.
Mace Windu in that. He just wanted Samuel Jackson just wanted a purple lightsaber, right? And so that's why they gave him one.
Yeah, he just asked George Lucas to have a purple lightsaber.
Sure.
George,
if you're going to be in it, fine. Sure.
It's a tone poem.
All right, then. Time for question one. As always, 10 questions with a bonus question for a tie. No theme this week, just questions. Oh. So, question number one. Which pizza was named after a brand of tinned fruit? It's a common type of pizza that you might order in any pizzeria.
That's what she said.
Margarita.
Not margarita.
That's a good guess. It was named after tinned fruit.
Tinned fruit.
I mean, maybe it's...
What have I done?
Maybe it's, as well as a place, Hawaiian?
It is Hawaiian.
After tinned pineapple? Yeah. I thought it was Hawaiian because it was...
From Hawaii.
That's why I always assumed it was do that. But no, it was named after... It was created by Sam Panopoulos in 1962.
Greek.
And he used tinned pineapple, which was called Hawaiian.
Oh, cool.
Fair enough.
So
It was one of those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, well... Well, margarita, I guess, is named after someone or a place called margarita.
Yeah, I guess so.
Question number two. 1-0 to Alex.
Thank you.
What words does the rapper Post Malone have tattooed on his face?
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be really annoyed that we're
yelling the answers, aren't they?
Just going to quickly open a new tab.
No cheating.
I don't know.
It's not.
That's what she said.
It's not that. I don't know. Like, could it be something? Could it be the stereotypical love hate?
It's not, but it is two words.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. It's two words, yeah. But it's not love hate.
Hmm.
What would that mean anyway?
It's more knuckles. Like
one cheek is...
Yeah, exactly.
One cheek is hate, the other cheek is love.
I don't know.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. Okay. It's a phrase. The words go together. Okay. They make a phrase. But it's a feeling we all experience. And I think Martin experiences it a lot.
Is it two words?
Two words.
Martin experiences it a lot is the clue.
A feeling.
How do you feel? Or how are you?
See, I don't know if I can have a guess without like accidentally insulting Martin.
No, you can go for it.
Just fed up.
it's going to be something fairly positive, right? Positive feeling?
Not really.
Is it something to do with tiredness?
Maybe. Is that a guess? Are you going to go for something else?
That's what she said.
Always tired.
Exactly, always tired.
Oh,
wow.
Good guessing.
Well done. Fair enough. One all. Question number three.
Yes.
In France, which diagram do the French call a camembert?
A diagram?
Yeah.
The French. Oh.
That's what she said.
Pie chart.
It is a pie chart.
Fair enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I hope they call it like a tart.
Yeah, tarte tatin.
Yeah. But no, a camembert.
Fair enough.
So, 2-1 to Martin. Question number four. What is Alan Partridge's middle name?
This, I done? Definitely got that.
No, I think Alex might have got that one.
No, I mean that.
It was split. It was split seconds.
Fine.
No,
take it.
It was so close. Okay, I'm going to count down. Both of you say it.
Oh, we both know it.
Yeah. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Gordon.
It is Gordon. So that's 3-2 to.
Do we both get a point?
Both get a point.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fair. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah. Question number 5. What is the largest city in South Africa? The largest city.
The largest in population or just size? Not that it makes much difference to me.
Yes.
Johannesburg?
It is Johannesburg.
Very good.
Three all. Going into question number 6. What are Harriet Jacobs, Olaudah Equiano, Frederick Douglass, and Solomon Northrop, famous for? What are those 4 people famous for? Harriet Jacobs, Olaudah Equiano, Frederick Douglass, and Solomon Northrop.
What are they all famous for?
Yes.
Clearly not famous enough. No.
I feel like I recognize the name.
Yeah. You should recognize a couple of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'm just an idiot.
They're famous in America. I'll give you that clue.
Yeah.
Oh, this is tough, Robin.
Harriet Jacobs, Solomon Northrop, Frederick Douglass, and Olaudah Equiano.
In America.
Yeah.
What have I done?
That's what I'm going to say after I attempt to answer this question. Just going to hazard a guess. What have they all done, did you say?
What are they famous
for?
Yeah.
Are they famous? Are they astronauts?
No.
Oh.
No. Martin, you got a guess?
Wild stab in the dark.
I'm just going for like proper stereotypical American things. They're famous in America. They are famous rodeo riders.
No. Okay, I'll give you a clue. This is a weird clue, but it might trigger a memory.
Okay.
Trump thinks one of them is still alive, according to statements he's made.
He thinks one of them's still alive.
The names are Harriet Jacobs, Olaudah Equiano, Frederick Douglass, and Solomon Northrop.
I'm missing something.
Popular film, acclaimed film, I should say, made about one of them fairly recently, starring Chiwetel Ejiofor. That's a massive clue.
Starring who?
Chiwetel Ejiofor. Okay, not as big a clue as I thought.
No, just tell us.
Once again, university level.
Okay, they were all slaves who wrote narratives of their experiences as slaves.
Okay.
12 years a slave. Solomon Northrop.
Okay. Yeah. Solomon Northrop. I've seen that. I've seen that in the cinema. There was definitely a film. What was it called?
12 Years a Slave.
About Solomon Northrop.
Yeah.
No,
it was another movie.
There was another one.
Well, there's Birth of a Nation that came out around the same time.
That might have been it. Yeah, that was it. That wasn't him. Because didn't one of them get in trouble? I can't remember.
What, on the movies? Or remember. On the slaves?
Oh, there was an allegation. No, of the actor who played.
Oh, possibly. Yeah, that might be Birth of a Nation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did see that. Yeah.
It was like 2017, maybe?
I think longer ago than that, to be
2016,
honest.
Yeah. Maybe 16.
Yeah, something like that.
I feel bad for not knowing that one.
Oh, I can't help it, you're racist. So, question number 7. Still 3-all, I think.
Okay.
Yep. What is C12H22O11?
What? You just said a bunch of letters and numbers. C12.
I did.
Wait.
What is C12H22O11? What might that group of letters and numbers be?
Is it?
Say it again.
C12H22O11.
H22O11. So you're talking about elements here that make
up
carbon, hydrogen, oxygen.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Hydroxide.
I mean, maybe, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Oh,
I'm looking for just it's a commonplace name because it's quite a commonplace thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh. Well, it's all on you, Martin.
Carbon, oxygen.
A commonplace thing.
The commonplace name of a substance.
Hmm.
Can I have another guess?
Go for it. Yeah, go for it.
What have I done?
Is it bleach?
No.
Oh.
This is something you can't eat bleach, but you can eat this.
You're clearly not trying hard enough, Robin. No, don't eat bleach.
No, definitely do not eat bleach. That's wise words from you there, Alex. Don't eat bleach.
Alex Brown, 2019.
Exactly. Don't eat bleach. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like a food substance, starch. Yeah, yeast.
No, that's two guesses, but no.
I meant yeast.
But exactly. You're definitely on the right lines. It's something that both of you have probably had in probably most likely in drinks, but also possibly on food.
Oh, is it ice?
It's not ice.
In drinks.
In drinks.
What's
in a drink? Go for it. Have another.
Lemon.
Go on, tell us, Robin.
Oh, I'll give you one more clue.
Okay.
You'd have it in hot drinks.
Oh. Milk.
What have I done?
No.
Sugar?
Yes. It's table sugar.
Oh.
In fact, we'll have loads of other things now, wouldn't it?
I could have asked you what the chemical makeup of table sugar was, but it seemed too hard.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Swap the question around. Okay, question number 8. I think that's 4-3 to Alex.
And I'm back in the lead.
Closest wins.
Okay.
Okay. In what year was the first Grand National horse race? Closest wins.
It was probably very early. I want to say quite, well, not very early. I want to say quite early. But I don't know how early.
Are you talking about the history of humanity early?
Give me a year.
Let's go. 1926.
Okay.
What have I done?
I think it was before that. I'm not gonna say 1925. 1924.
Sadly, Alex is closer. The answer is 1839.
Wow, that's really early.
Wow.
I mean, think about it. Like My Fair Lady, Victorians going to see. I think they're Victorians, maybe they're Edwardians.
Yeah, Martin, anyway. Think about My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
I should have been thinking about My Fair Lady.
I think that means it's 5-3 to Alex, but there's still two questions, so Martin has a chance to bring
this
it back.
Going well.
Okay. After whom is the Hubble Space Telescope named? Basically the first name.
What have I done?
I believe it's Edwin Hubble. Is it Edwin?
Bloody hell, it is.
Yes!
It is. Wow.
Very good.
6-3.
Very good.
Very
Thank
good.
You. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I did not know that.
Question number 10.
Name for pride.
What is the largest organ inside the human body?
Why is that funny?
I was going to substitute
isn't it doing
human
it?
For mind.
Why isn't it playing?
Why is it? Okay. I'll read that again.
Is it?
What is the largest organ inside the human body?
Go on. Say what you want. Say the joke.
Is it the liver?
It is nice. The liver. So final score is 6-4 to Alex.
Very
well
good.
Done.
Well
thank
done.
You.
Very good.
Thank
Edwin, you. I was impressed by that.
Oh,
Edwin.
Yeah, that's good knowledge. I wouldn't have guessed that.
It's been a while since I've won
table sugar.
Quiz,
though. What was I saying? I was saying loads of random shit.
That was quite funny. I knew it would be hard, but that was quite funny. Lemon. I mean, I don't know what the chemical composition of lemon is.
It'd be mental. It'd be like tons of stuff.
Yeah,
there.
Presumably. Loads of things. Question, bonus question?
Yeah.
It's quite a tricky one.
Maybe not then.
Don't worry.
You like Elton John?
Not really.
No.
Okay. But you know the song Candle in the Wind?
Heard about it, yeah.
Heard of it.
Who's it about?
Tony Soprano.
That's your guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good guess.
He's
incorrect.
He sang it for Princess Diana.
Incorrect. So. Yeah, he did. That's the thing. Most people, that's why a trick question. Most people think Princess Diana. But of course, he wrote it in 1973 about Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
We would have said that next.
well then, Alex. Another decisive victory. He's back on form. He's going to win for the rest of the year
that's
now.
That's the plan. Yep. I mean, there's not too long left of the year.
that would be impressive winning for the rest of the year, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's another 2 months to go.
It's true.
Thank you for the quantum computing story. That was terrifying. And
you're
more terrifying were the spooky stories about probable actual ghosts.
Absolutely. Mm. And after this, we are going over to Patreon. Aren't we?
We are, yes.
Where we're going to talk about another story for you. So if indeed. You want some more of this, some more of us, then then do head over there. Anyway, thank you so much for watching. Yeah, head over on over onto the Patreon, and Stitch Fix have kindly sponsored this video, so head over to there too.
Yeah, it's actually really good. Yeah, so it's check good. It out. Check it out, just for the sake of it. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah,
we'll see you next time.
Indeed.
Bye. Goodbye. Bye.